Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Let us listen to the word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. About 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have been born, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have a few phrases in our house about fairness. Somehow this matters a lot when you have two little girls who pay attention to things like ice cream and candy and toys and screen time. They complain when the other has more than them. So one phrase we use is, "You get what you get, so don't throw a fit." Another one, "The only time you need to worry about what's in your neighbor's bowl is if you're checking to make sure they have enough." Or, "Fair isn't everyone getting the same, it's everyone getting what they need." It doesn't always work. Even though we say these wise sayings, tantrums, arguments, crying still ensue, yet it doesn't just remind them, it also reminds us grown-ups why it's important not to compare, or what fair is. Our scripture reading doesn't make sense if you're in the business world. You'd never pay the guy who works just a few hours the same as the one who puts in a full day's work. Everyone just doesn't get paid the same. There are people who are born into rich families and others who are poor. Certainly everyone should get a chance if they work hard, but it doesn't always happen. I know hardworking people who work 60 to 80 hours a week and they can barely afford to pay their bills. I know honest people who work for a company for 40 years and they get fired without benefits that they were counting on. Now, I'm not alone here. You or someone you know certainly doesn't get what they deserve. We live in an unfair world. Even though it doesn't always work the way we want, we believe it should. We hope it will. And there are times we hope God will eventually provide us that justice, what's fair, what we deserve, what we work hard for. I've always found this parable interesting. The people working the longest and hardest have to wait until the end to get paid, watching everyone else getting the same wage. So that's why the last workers speak out and stand up for the just, the right, what they deserve. And the workers plead their case, they stand up for themselves. And it may sound like children at times, And the estate owner reminds them that they're focused on the wrong thing. Stop focusing on what's fair or what's just. Instead, we should focus on the generosity shared to each of them. The reality is, none of us, if we look at this as the estate owner being God, we never deserve God's generosity, God's forgiveness or grace and love, because we all fall short. Yet too often, we focus on the wrong things, don't we? We're so wrapped up with what's fair and what's not fair, what we deserve and what we don't deserve, how hard we work compared to someone else's work. We compare our houses and cars. We compare Facebook statuses against each other. We compare our looks and our spouses, even our kids. We do this not only in our everyday lives, but we also do this in the church at times. Maybe you feel like you put in all the work, and others should do their fair share. Or maybe you should carry more clout since you're a long-time member. The reality is, it's not about how long or how hard we work. It's not about the wages or the social status or the possessions. Instead, it's about the generosity of the estate owner, which points us to the generosity of God. That's what we must focus our attention on here, because God's generosity often violates our own sense of right or wrong, the way things would be if we were in charge. At a fundraising dinner for a school that serves children with learning disabilities, the father of one of the students delivered this speech. "My son Shay cannot learn things as other children do. He cannot understand things as other children do. I believe that when a child like Shay, who is mentally and physically disabled, comes into the world, an opportunity to realize true human nature presents itself, and it comes in the way other people treat that child." Shay and I had walked past a park where some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. And Shay asked me, "Do you think they'll let me play?" I knew that most of the boys would not want someone like Shay on their team. But as a father, I also understood that if my son were allowed to play, it would give him a much-needed sense of belonging and some confidence to be accepted by others in spite of his handicaps. I approached one of the boys on the field and I asked, not expecting much, if Shay could play. The boy looked around for guidance and said, "Well, we're losing by 6 runs, and the game is in the 8th inning. Yeah, I guess he can be on our team. We'll try to put him up to bat in the 9th inning. Shay struggled over to the team's bench and with a broad smile put on a team shirt. I watched with a small tear in my eye and warmth in my heart. The boys saw my joy at my son being accepted. In the bottom of the 8th inning, Shay's team scored a few runs but was still behind by 3. In the top of the 9th inning, Shay puts on a glove and played in the right field. And even though no hits came his way, he was obviously ecstatic just to be in the game, on the field. He was grinning from ear to ear as I waved to him from the stands. In the bottom of the 9th inning, Shay's team scored again. Now with 2 outs, the bases loaded, the potential winning run was on base, and Shay was scheduled to be next at bat. At this juncture, do they let Shay bat and give away their chance to win the game? Surprisingly, Shay was given the bat, and everyone knew that a hit was all but impossible. It was impossible because Shay didn't even know how to hold the bat properly, much less connect with the ball. However, as he stepped up to the plate, the pitcher, recognizing that the other team was putting winning aside for this moment in Shay's life, moved in a few steps to lob the ball in softly so Shay could at least make contact. The first pitch came and Shay swung clumsily and missed. The pitcher again took a few steps toward forward to toss the ball softly toward Shea. As the pitch came in, Shea swung at the ball and it hit a slow ground ball right back to the pitcher. Now the game would be over. The pitcher picked up the soft grounder and could have easily thrown the ball to the first baseman. Shea would have been out and that would have been the end of the game. Instead, the pitcher threw the ball right over that first baseman's head, out of the reach of all the other teammates. And everyone from the team and from the stands started yelling and cheering, "Shea, run to first! Run to first!" Never in his life had Shea ever run that far. But he made it to first base. He scampered down the baseline, wide-eyed and startled. And everyone yelled, "Run to second! Run to second!" And catching his breath, Shea awkwardly ran towards second. Gleaming and struggling to make it to the base, by the time Shea rounded toward second base, the right fielder had the ball. He was the smallest guy on their team, and he now had his first chance to be the hero for his team. He could have thrown the ball to second baseman for a tag, but he understood the pitcher's intentions. So he, too, intentionally threw the ball high and far over the third baseman's head. Shea ran toward third base deliriously as the runners ahead of him circled the bases toward home. All were screaming, "Shea, Shea, Shea, all the way, Shea." Shea reached third base because the opposing shortstop ran to help him by turning him in the direction of third base and shouted, "Run to third, Shea, run to third." And as Shea rounded third, the boys from both teams and the spectators were on their feet screaming, "Shea, run home! Run home!" And Shea ran home. He stepped on the plate and was cheered as the hero who hit the grand slam and won the game for his team. "That day," said the father softly with tears now rolling down his face, "the boys from both teams helped bring a piece of true love and humanity into this world." Shea didn't make it to the next summer. He died that winter, having never forgotten being the hero, making me so happy, and coming home and seeing his mother tearfully embrace her little hero of the day. That's what matters. At the end of the day, we need not compare wages, status, or possessions. We need not worry about fairness or justice. We need not worry about winning the game. Instead, we need to focus on God's generosity. For anyone who comes in late, anyone who has ability or not, that's the God we serve. The one who lets the Sheas of the world be part of the team. And when God's that generous, I want to be too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.